This is Queen Elizabeth I, speaking to you from the 16th century. It's a Woman Crush Wednesday. Join Professor Buzzkill as he crushes on women from history who deserve more fame and glory.
You know, it's funny how things happen. We recently had a show on Robert Kennedy's speech on the death of Martin Luther King. In that speech, he quoted Greek poetry twice. And one of you buzzkillers out there asked if I knew which translation he had used. Well, of course, I didn't. But I set the Buzzkill research team onto the question, and very quickly, they determined that it was Edith Hamilton, the famous American classicist of the early 20th century. And that made sense, I thought. Edith Hamilton's books were very popular during most of the last century, and it's very likely that Robert Kennedy would have read them in school or college, or would have come across them at some time in his life. Edith Hamilton's work was certainly in his generational wheelhouse. Even though Edith Hamilton is far too famous to be the subject of a Woman Crush Wednesday episode, our team of researchers pointed out to me that her sister, Alice, who lived from 1869 to 1970, definitely deserves more historical fame and glory. I'll get to her primary career in a minute, but let me tell you some of the things she did in her spare time. Those included campaigning for women's rights, campaigning for social reforms and civil liberties across the United States, campaigning for peace in Europe, working after World War I to help bring humanitarian relief to destroyed parts of Europe, serving as the only woman on the League of Nations Health Committee, and writing important newspaper articles such as The Youth Who Are Hitler's Strength in the New York Times in October 1933. That article provided an early warning of what Nazi training and Nazi education was doing to the young people of Germany. Ordinarily, these types of things would have made for a full and admirable life. As I said, though, they were secondary to her main career as a doctor, a medical researcher, and one of the leading experts in occupational health and the effects of toxic materials on industrial workers. And oh, by the way, she was the first woman appointed to the faculty at Harvard University. Born in New York and raised in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Alice Hamilton came from a largish, privileged family. Her siblings became noted educators and scholars, and Alice herself headed straight for science and medicine, earning her medical degree at the University of Michigan Medical School in 1893. Afterwards, she undertook hospital internships in Minnesota and in Boston and traveled to Germany to study at some of the most advanced medical universities in the world, and then did postgraduate work at Johns Hopkins. All this was in the span of 3 years, by the way. After leaving Johns Hopkins, she became a professor of pathology at Northwestern University near Chicago. While there, she also joined Jane Addams Hull House as a physician, and she lived at Hull House along with a number of other like-minded social reformers. And it was at Hull House, and in working with the residents there, that Dr. Hamilton first saw some of the terrible effects that industrial chemicals and lead poisoning had on workers in Chicago. And it was then and there that she resolved to specialize in industrial medicine and researching the causes of disease among American workers. And so, for the rest of her career, Dr. Hamilton continued to study the causes of work-related illness. She joined the Illinois State Commission on Occupational Diseases in 1910, agitated successfully for workers' compensation laws in Illinois and Indiana, and urged the passage of occupational regulations in other states. She eventually became the leading expert on lead poisoning, which turned out to be a very common and serious problem during America's industrial age. Consumer and industrial products from dyed shoe leather all the way up to gasoline were found to have highly dangerous levels of lead and nearly a dozen other noxious chemicals. During World War I, she discovered that munitions workers were being made very sick, and in some cases dying, from overexposure to TNT. Her governmental panel on this recommended workplace protections against TNT, and it eventually solved the problem. Dr. Hamilton also pioneered the identification of mercury poisoning among hatters, those who made hats, carbon monoxide poisoning in steel workers, and the causes of an alarming number of pulmonary tuberculosis cases in stonecutters and carvers. She was appointed to the faculty of Harvard Medical School in 1919 and stayed there until 1935. It was a big deal when she was hired. The New York Tribune ran an article headlined, "A Woman on the Harvard Faculty. The Last Citadel Has Fallen. The Sex Has Come Into Its Own." Even though she did all this important medical work at Harvard, was a great fundraiser for the Harvard Medical School and the university generally, in most university affairs, Dr. Hamilton was treated as a second-class citizen. She couldn't march with the male faculty members at graduation. She was excluded from the faculty club and the Harvard Union, both very important aspects of social life at Harvard. And believe it or not, she never received a faculty promotion. That's right, never. After retiring from Harvard in 1935, Dr. Hamilton worked for the U.S. Division on Labor Standards, and despite all of her important work and discoveries, much of it for the U.S. government and the U.S. military, federal action on worker safety lagged behind that of many U.S. states. In December 1970, Congress passed the Occupational Safety and Health Act. But Dr. Alice Hamilton didn't live to see that. She had died 3 months earlier, on September 22nd, aged 101. Talk to you next week.